Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only feel-good radio station. How you doing? My mum, rest her soul, was a dancer. So I hope your dancing shoes are on. Like me, despite what you are going through, that you remember that you are blessed and divinely favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. And it's interesting that she says, stop listening to the noise. Because we carry on talking about mental health awareness. I like literally met like the most, she's just a beautiful woman, Lynn Crilly. And we are going to talk about the impact or the conversation around removing social media for under 15s. But even before I get into that, you know, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female, intimate health and the whole person. And something I just thought about before I share this interview is that, you know, a lot of those under 15s are pubescent teenagers. And they are influenced by so many things. And I follow this pastor on Instagram. I just love the way he shares another video and then he teaches something mentally, emotionally about the lesson in the videos. Very powerful. And the one I saw today was about the banana artwork. Now, if you have not seen it, go and have a look at the banana artwork by a comedian, it's called, by Maurizio Catalan. Because on my sister's birthday, 2024, 20th of November, that sold for $6.2 million at a auction in New York. Now, the important thing is this. It's a real banana, one finger. Remember, you get a hand of bananas, but you get one banana against a white canvas that's strapped to that canvas with duct tape. And the final piece after fees was $6.24 million, and it was purchased by crypto entrepreneur Justin Sun. And I think what's interesting is that this piece first appeared in 2019 at the Art Basel Miami Beach, where earlier editions sold for around 120 to 150 thousand. So it started off at the lower end of six figures and end up selling for seven figures, 6.24 million, 5 years later. And what's interesting about that, because you may be thinking, why is she going on about a banana and what's it got to do with mental health awareness? It made me ask questions. But the question is that it goes to show when we were locked down and we were stuck to our screens, the influence the screen had or the influence people through the screen had speaks to the inflated value of a fresh banana, not its nutritional content, but the person behind the concept. And so it speaks to cultural attention, it speaks to meme status, it speaks to controversy and symbolism, and it speaks to the inflated value of the controversy and symbolism and how massively inflated it is. Yeah? And it says a lot really some profound things about our modern culture, especially within the last 5 to 6 years. It speaks about the attention that creates value. It speaks about virility and how that creates status. It speaks about conversations and how our conversations have now become currency. And that for me, I think is quite scary, because I ask that question, the concept of false identity means that we're placing things over people. So, it made me just go off a tangent. So I look at the African cloth. There's lots of videos now coming up in Africa where they're upset about how their beautiful prints and cloths are now on the Paris runway. So these are eccentric, eclectic and vibrant pieces. I've got lots of lovely African-inspired materials that my wonderful friend, #DJNI.UK, thegenie.UK makes. But you see, in Africa, the cloth, it's cloth. But on the Paris, Milan or London runway, it's visionary. So the value becomes the platform. The identity and culture is just that in Africa, but in Paris, Milan and London, it's unending greed and extravagance. And that devalues a continent whilst building the wealth at expense. So the value nutritionally of a banana is lost to the irony of what one finger and duct tape can do by an artist who has placed such inflated value on his work. But has he placed it on there, or have we placed it on there? So, what is influencing us to inject ourselves to aesthetically enhance our features, or ingest our to enhance our aesthetics without understanding? It means that once we became aware of influence, we have the opportunity to question. But as long as we don't understand that awareness is the key, and this is really falls into this mental health awareness, and this is why I wanted to start with this, is that, we're looking at, there's a connection between economics, identity, health and psychology and culture. And literally, we're looking at mental health awareness, which becomes more deep than just thinking about feelings. Because once we become aware, and awareness is the key, then we can be aware of the influence. We can start to ask the questions. Right, who taught me this? Who has told me this is the truth? Why am I valuing this so much? Maybe we can ask the question, who profits from my insecurity? Or why am I consuming emotionally, mentally, or what am I consuming even? And, physically, spiritually, and what identity am I trying to buy? That's the most important question. What identity are you trying to buy, right? Because this is where we have to understand that that banana is a powerful metaphor, because literally the nutritional value becomes irrelevant once the platform has changed its meaning. And in one environment, that banana will feed the body. But in another, it feeds status, it feeds spectacle, and it feeds ego. I'll say that again. In one environment, when you buy the banana for nutrition, it's there to feed your body. But when it was duct taped to that paper, it was there to feed ego, status, and spectacle. And it worked. And so now we have to ask ourselves, what has happened? All that's happened is things that were dismissed or seen as ordinary. So we go back to the cloth in Africa. It becomes validated in Paris and it becomes luxury. And it's not that the cloth has changed. It's the platform that's changed. The perception has changed. So the perception changes, the platform assigns the value. And that really tells us about colonial thinking, power structure, and how identity gets repackaged for profit. But it also tells us that we have to be careful about what it is we're following and how we are being influenced. Because when it comes to our bodies and aesthetics, we are not enhancing ourselves from a position of understanding, but we're responding to influence. And this is the thing. Influence without awareness becomes very dangerous. Now, I'm going to play a trail and I'm going to bring in the Ling Crilly. Now, you might think, where's the connection? It was ironic that is what's happening. And I think sometimes these things are happening if we don't pay attention to art and culture and media. And we just think these are trends. But what happens with trends is people follow trends. And what's happened is when you have to ask yourself, what am I following? Because when we follow trends, followers eventually become imitators, whether that's conscious or subconscious. So you have to be careful about what it is you're following. Me as a believer, I'm told, you know, people say, like, why are you being a follower of Christ? And we should be imitators of Christ. But that's about godliness, that's about health, that's about love, that's about different things. When we look at what's out there and what we're following things and people who are profiting from our vulnerability, our insecurity, and our lack of asking the right questions. Excuse me. So, let's play a trail, let's have a listen, and let's come back on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, this Mental Health Awareness Week, I am blessed to be speaking with Lynn Crilly. And we are, she's an advocate and an author and film producer, and we are talking about the social media ban that France is moving to bring in for under 15s as a landmark child protection law. So, Lynn, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. So France were on the brink of being the first country in Europe to ban social media access for children under 15, as lawmakers debate on the landmark bill's aim at tackling the growing impact of online platforms for young people and their health and development. I mean, this is a really powerful story. So what's happening?
I think because the mental ill health amongst our younger generation has grown really grown greatly in the last, probably since lockdown. I think the mental health has got worse, particularly around anxiety, eating disorders, depression, even identity awareness. And I think a lot of it has to do, not all of it, we can't blame social media for it all. But I think that, you know, social media technology, our brains are advancing quickly and our brains can't keep up with it. And sort of under 18, under 16, the children's brains, they're not developed properly. And the technology that is going with it is they just can't keep up with it. And I think it's causing them insomnia, a lot of stress. The comparisons between them and what they're seeing online, are they good enough? The peer pressure of going out, or, you know, some of them don't want to go out, but they see their friends out and feel like, you know, why aren't I invited? So not being included. I just think that when I was younger, we used to go out, play and come back. And that was it. No one knew where we were. But they knew we would come home. There were no phones, there were phone boxes. Whereas now, even with the tracking, which I do think is a good idea, everyone seems to know where everyone is and what everyone's doing.
And I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's the danger. I think the thing is there's no privacy. You know, like you said, everything, it's almost as if you feel like everything has to be on display. So there is no privacy. And then that makes them susceptible to people who don't have the best interests at heart for those children. And that's, I think that's, for me, is the biggest danger, one of the biggest dangers.
I think, well, they used to say that, you know, you knew that your child was safe in their bedroom. But I think now, you know, if a child's alone in their bedroom on their phone, are they safe? You know, what are they schooling? Because they don't know what's at the other end. And sometimes their brains, or they're not mature enough to define the difference between what's real and what's not real. And as we all know, people tend to post their glorified moments on social media rather than their real life.
I think the thing with social media is, your, like you said, we're not developing our brains properly. We're staring at screens. There's going to be, you know, in the next 10 to 20 years, there's going to be a massive issue around, you know, vestibular health. So eye health, even ear health, all of those things will be a problem. We're going to have a massive issue with posture, because posture is a massive one. So I look at it from a different perspective, from the health perspective, structurally, because this is where we're going to have problems. Because if you look at the postures of young children today, they are terrible, absolutely terrible. So the load on the spine is massive. So that's going to create its own mental health issues, because people are going to be so uncomfortable, they're going to be in pain, and they're not going to understand. It's been all the hours of scrolling or holding your head down and rounding the shoulders. There's going to be digestive issues. There's going to be so many different structural, hormonal, emotional issues that we have to face, that I don't even know if they're even looking at that side of it. I think that I've got a niece who's a high-function autistic, and, you know, what she watches on social media, her imagination is already very, very vivid. So I find this interesting from the perspective of the fact that there's 7 years between her and her sister, and she's 9, and my other niece is 16 this year, and she wants to be that same 16-year-old. She wants to be ahead of her time. And it's very hard to explain to someone whose brain is already functioning in a very unique and beautiful way that this is where the dangers are. And I think when you try to explain to young children why there's dangers, a lot of the times they're not seeing it. The arguments they're having with their parents are really about, why are you stopping me from having access to something that they think is no harm?
I 100% agree with you, because even my neck is beginning to hurt, and I'm making a conscious effort to rather look up rather than look down. But when you look at the kids outside, they've all got their heads down, and half of them don't even see what's around them. You know, they're missing life, really, real life.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. Do you drive?
Yes.
Right, so, you know, I drive, and I've got a client, she used to come to me, and from the Cambridge roundabout in Edmonton, sort of where the North Circle and the Cambridge crosses in London, coming up, there's like, I think there's 5 sets of lights. So I said to her, I want you to count the amount of traffic lights when it comes to big junctions that you go through. Do you know, it took her about 2 weeks to do it. She really struggled to count the traffic lights, because you would just get in the car, like you said, you get in the car and you drive. Then when you don't have your car, you start to walk and you go, oh, that's what's happening with social media, isn't it?
Yes, they're missing the bigger picture, and I think there is a lot of peer pressure as well. I mean, the thing that I'm seeing as well is that a lot of parents, because obviously the parents, you know, most parents, if not all of them, are doing their best, whatever their best is in this fast fueled technology stressful world. Most of them, if not all, are doing their best. And I think some of them are coming together. There are groups now online, like Smartphone Free Childhood, and a lot of them are coming together. And there's these little groups around, especially where I am in Surrey, where parents are coming together and saying, right, let's all agree that we're not giving any smartphones until they're 16. And rather than the child going home is the only one who hasn't got the phone and hasn't got social media, that there, it's becoming more, I think people are becoming more aware of the dangers. But I suppose if we were to implement what France have implemented, it would just take the pressure off the parents, and it's law, and that's it. You can't have it, and that's the end of
See, I don't think it will. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I don't think it will.
it.
I'll tell you for why. Because you can take the social media away from children and say, right, that's it, you don't have it. But if we keep closing the youth centres, if the parks
Yes.
aren't safe, if all of those things are there, you've got to fill that space. If you take that away from the
Yes, that's
children,
very
what are
true.
you filling it with? If the parents are working one, two, and three jobs just to make ends meet, what happens? This is where the problem is. And also, when they're building houses and they're building new houses or whatever else, they're building houses. And I've said this from years ago when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. That's how long ago we're talking. And I used to say, one of the biggest issues we had is because we don't have a dining room. We don't have a dining table. People are not sitting around the table. If you sat
No,
around the table every day and the family came together every day and you talked about life every day, you know, when you go to the table, the phone is banned from the table. You go to the table, and that's the one time when, you know, dad's gone to work, mum's gone to work, or she's at home or doing whatever she's doing, kids have gone to school, blah, blah, blah. You come together around the dining table at the end of the day and you discuss the day. At the weekend, you look to plan what you're going to do as a family, or da da da, or mum's
yeah.
going to take some here, dad's going to take some here. But then you still come back together around the dining table and you talk about your day. If parents don't have the time for their children, now, you know what's happened. You
Yes.
see that, you know, even I'm going to David Lloyd soon. They've got the children's activity area, you know, and you still see little babies, and the parents are all coming together, and they've got the child's play area, and the parents are there having their own conversation, and they're teasing the coffees and doing whatever, and their children have got an iPad. So they're not even bringing the children together in the play area and trying to get the children to play together. They're bringing the children together so they can come together. So there's a whole, it's opening up Pandora's box, and I do agree that social media for under 15s should be minimized or taken away. But unless you actually have a real good structured plan to replace it, and I suppose really in France, I think France, they are a bit more family centered, you know, than we are. Unfortunately, we have got, you know, all the programs that we grew up with, that I grew up with, all around the pub, EastEnders, Emmerdale, you know, Coronation Street, they're all based around the pub. So, do we take away social media and keep the pub? Which one's worse? Which
A
one's
really interesting. Do you know what? I don't think people have really thought about what will happen if social media was to be taken away. I mean, maybe it needs to be limited in some way, because some of what they're watching, the people that are delivering it, aren't qualified. And I think especially with body image and eating disorders, which is where my main field of interest is, I see the younger, both boys and girls, because the boys are acting up to the whole macho image, the gym culture, and the girls are obviously doing their obviously looking at all these beauty ideal,
Boobs
which
and butts and
obviously
no
is being
tummy and
filtered.
yeah.
So I think there's an argument for and an argument against, but having grandchildren myself that are now four, a little boy and a little girl, I do worry in
Don't
my
look old enough,
daughter.
love. You don't look old enough.
I'm 61, nearly 62. I do
Well, I'm
struggle
sassy, sexy, 63, and I can't even show you my face. I don't know
with this.
why.
No, how old are you?
Jonathan can tell you. He can tell you I look quite young. You know what I mean?
Oh no, well hopefully I'll see you at some point.
Yeah.
But no, I worry for my grandchildren because they're all, you know, when we go out for dinner, we don't let them have the iPads. I do see
Fantastic.
obviously other children. We spend a lot of time with them, obviously. My daughter's really good. I mean, she's already said that they're not having phones until on social media until, you know, they're 16. But I see some of the people that she's friends with or within her group that have got slightly older kids, and they're growing up so fast. You know, I was playing with Barbie at 13. They're out in the local centre at 13,
I
vaping.
know, crop tops and everything.
Yes,
It's really hard.
yeah.
And I think the other thing is, right, when we have this conversation, because I don't know who, I'd love to sit down in Parliament and talk to these people. I don't know where they come from. I think they live under a bubble because you take away social media, But then you've got to finding activities to replace it. But you've got to make sure you stop shutting them all down in the first place. The other thing is then, TV's got a lot to do with it. Because when you talk about body image, when you talk about body shaming and body image, on social media, it's all filters. And on programs like Love Island, and I don't watch any of those programs, by the way, but all this Married at First Sight, all this, you've just got women coming out. They're scantily clad. And, you know, we're making it. I mean, you know, they've built a new spa in David Lloyd's, right? And so you've got the saunas and the steams. You've got a lot more young people. That's what they're interested in, really, more the young people. These girls' bikinis, some of these bikinis, they're not bikinis. They're not bikinis. There is nothing covering any part of their buttocks. Nothing, you know, and they're just about covering the nipples. It's ridiculous. But so the guys in this, it's like a meat mark. Look, I'm being honest, right? This is what's happening because it's becoming, Love Island is coming to David Lloyd's and it's coming to other clubs. Because if you can't get on and do it, you're doing it here. And what's happening is if you've got reality TV is now replacing actors and actresses and becoming the mainstay of the TV, then you've got that body shaming and body images on the TV. Then you've got it on social media. So if we want to ban social media for under 15s, I think we need to take away some of these programs as well. And what we have to be careful of and make sure is that if the children can't get the social media at home, they can't get access in the library and they can't get access at school. Otherwise the children are going to start saying, "Mum, I'm going to be a bit late tonight. I'm staying at home. I'm staying at school to do my homework." And you're thinking, "Oh my God, my daughter, my son, they're really doing well."
Like you say, it will go underground. Like they say, but I do agree with you with programs like Love Island, and they don't teach that, you know, if you don't like one person, then you just move to the next. Well, I don't really agree with that either. No, you know, you have to work at a relationship to make it work. You know, everything's a quick fix and very ready at the moment, isn't it?
Well, the relationships are based basically on physical. They're based on aesthetics. Yes. They're not based on heart posture. They're not based on anything spiritual. They're not based on anything, you know, mentally emotional. They're not based on planning. You're not planning a relationship. What you're doing is you're literally going in there to win. So that's what you need to do.
And get your followers.
Get your followers and get your win. You think, but so, the,
and,
so
an easy career.
Yeah, but the problem with that is I think there's a lot of mental, emotional. To go on there, you expose yourself. And a lot of people, if you get to talk to them after, even people that did the X Factors and when it was on and The Voice, a lot of those have mental, emotional challenges following all that. You know, Susan Boyd had that. You know, you have all of those people. Amy Winehouse had it, God rest her soul, because, you know, she was a beautiful, voluptuous woman. She had a gorgeous body, but social media told her she was the media. And that's the first social media was the newspapers. They were the first social media. And if they decided they don't like you, they will vilify you in the press. They will find something wrong with you. They'll dig up whatever. And they'll put put your dirty laundry out for the whole world to read. And they turn people against you based on how the journal, if the journalist didn't like you, if you didn't give them the time of day, they will turn people against you. So the first social media was newspapers. It's now moved on to screen. And, you know, like you said, you've got, you know, you've had all the, is it Sophie's Law? You've had all those, you know, the young children that have, you know, killed themselves because of different problems and challenges. And all these silly challenges they put on TV that children are doing. You're not assessing no one. You're not qualifying no one. And everyone's doing it for likes. And then all of a sudden, you know, parents are burying their children for rubbish. Because there's no quality of life. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think we should come together, Lynn. That's my idea.
I'm up for that. I'm really passionate about. No, I'm really passionate about it because I work with mainly under 18s, in mainly with eating disorders and some of the stuff and anxiety and depression. But you know, some of the stuff they tell me and I learn through them. But it's not going to get any easier. If anything, and I look at some of the videos that they're looking at, and I just think, where is it going to end? No, I'm up for that.
Well, I think you have to connect us for sure. Because I tell you, for me, like, I work with intimate health, so I work with women around, you know, breast and pelvic health, especially pelvic health. And I
could probably do with a bit of that at the moment.
Yeah, but it's really interesting because literally every woman that has experienced, you know, that can cure as opposed to cancer, will always have a story. There isn't not one, especially with breast, because that's, you know, what's behind that is the heart, the lungs. And just not being able to you know, when the heart is hurting, when you can't articulate, when it affects your breathing, those things, our reproductive organs are affected by our life experiences and our inability to be able to even move away from it, escape it, express it, you know, and the body carries it. And so when you talk to these women, like you said, you're working with under 18s and they have these issues. When they then become the adults that have even bigger issues later on. And we are not dealing with this stuff. We're not dealing with it. We're not talking to people. We're not allowing them to express. We think it's just a joke when we take the mickey out of this person over here. But we have got no idea the impact of that joke on that person's mental, emotional well-being and how it
Well, often or not, body. With the kids. No, I mean, when they've got issues, like severe issues, it's a culmination of different things that come together. Mm-hmm. But often or not, it could be a flippant comment or something where they've felt isolated or different that starts to manifest in their minds. And those that are particularly creative, their brains start to work overtime. Then what they're seeing online, because obviously, you know, mental health and physical health, they go together.
Of course they do.
And you're only as good at, you know, you could be really good physically, but not very well mentally and vice
That's
versa.
That's the problem, isn't it? Mm. The first principle of total health is thoughts. Everything starts with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. You know, even this interview now, it starts with a thought. You know, I think I would really like to be to do this and get this out there. It starts with a thought. And then every thought we have creates an emotional response. And that emotional response will then stimulate hormones. That literally is how our bodies do on a daily basis. Wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, oh, I don't like this. This is horrible. And if you say, like, I don't like this, this is horrible, the emotion that's stimulated is kind of a bit of adrenaline or a bit of stress because you look at yourself and you don't feel good. You don't go, I don't like this, this is horrible. Yeah. You're smiling.
And then that manifests itself in the way that you act, or maybe the way that you interact with other people because you're not feeling confident about
how you carry yourself, your posture. Yes.
Yeah. And then that, so then you tend to, and that, if that's over a period of time, then it all builds up, doesn't it?
Mm. I remember in 2015, we went to Ascot and we got ready and everything. And my friend's mum, beautiful lady, God rest her soul, she died at 93. She got dressed and then she was a bit late meeting us at the station. She got there and, you know, she was a little bit overweight at the time and she put a dress on and the mum said to her, you're not going out like that. You look ridiculous. But, you know, it was just like, you know, sometimes a parent can make a comment and it's just like, you're not going to, it's really not good. I always knew my ex-boyfriend, I always knew when I looked good. Because if I was going somewhere, he wasn't coming. If I put something on and I was going out, if he liked it, look, all right, see you later. If I put something on and he looked really good, he'd go, where are you going? It's like, okay, he likes his outfit. It's like, you can't go out like that because you're going to attract attention. We don't really, you know, the words are the most powerful thing on this planet. And our health is the most valuable asset we have. Yes. So we're chasing all of the wrong things.
Yeah.
And we have got into the schools and change the narrative. Because even teachers can be dangerous. Teachers can be the best and they can also be the worst. They can be the worst. So we've got to change the narrative. When my son was at Montessori, 2.5, first day, he went to Montessori, 3 hours. And I picked him up and the teacher said to me, your son was very disruptive today. And if he does it again tomorrow, we're going to expel him.
Really?
First day. So I went home. I cried. I said to my friend, look at my child. I was trying to work out what it was. And my friend said, you need to go tomorrow and ask them. I couldn't sleep. I went in the next day and I said to them, I couldn't sleep. I said, you know, what did my son do? They said, well, when it came to circle time and all the children sit down on the floor to read books, your son got up and he was looking around at the stuff in the room.
Really?
I said, are you joking? Are you telling me I had no sleep? Because of that.
For that.
I said, my son, he's an only child. So when I read to him, I put him on my lap.
Mm.
Or I put him on a chair. I don't put him at my feet.
Mm.
And if he's exploring, he's exploring.
Yes. Yeah.
By the end of the week, they were like, oh, we love him. We want to adopt him. Can we keep him? But what I'm saying is, some parents, some parents of West Indian culture may go home and and other children back then, they may beat their children. Well, you embarrass me. Sometimes we don't ask the child, we think the teacher's right. Sometimes we think the teacher's right, and we start to, you know, then go on to the child. The child's like, but I didn't do anything. And but mm-hmm. you don't believe them because the people in authority are supposed to be correct. We've got to learn to stop, ask the right questions. What do you mean by what you're saying? What did my child do? And then ask the child and listen. Because a lot of the time, sometimes we don't do that. But the word disruptive is a very powerful word. But literally all he did was look around the room and see what was in
there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those, you know, and that's a one statement from a teacher. And I use that to tell people that we can't always believe. I'm not knocking teachers because I know they do a fantastic job and I know they're under pressure. But even under pressure, as a child, as a teacher, as a sister, as a brother, even for your own siblings, sometimes you can say something, but you don't know. It's not always the mouth it comes out of. It's the mind it goes into.
Into, yes.
And you don't know that mind when you say it.
Yeah, well, it's how they interpret it, isn't it?
Mm, mm.
And because we're all different, they can, everyone interprets things differently.
That's right. And when they internalise it, that's the thing, how they internalise it. They interpret and they internalise. Lynn, I could talk to you all day, you know. But honestly, I think this is such a powerful conversation. It's like,
maybe we need to go and rattle Parliament a bit, because personally, I don't think they really... No, I don't think that... Well, they're not in the real world, are they? I mean...
No.
They need people that are in the real world to tell them they're not on the ground.
And to consider all the variables that we've just discussed this
morning. Yes, because what will happen, and there's already teenagers, you know, not rioting, but being not particularly good around the country, isn't there?
And so we need to, like I said, you need to formulate a plan and bring back something. But the youth clubs, I grew up with a youth club right across the road to my mum's house, God rest her soul, and all those things. We grew up in the youth club. We grew up opposite a park, so we grew up playing in the park. So like you said, we grew up, I had a physical upbringing, as did you, because we're in our sassy, sexy 60s, so we had a physical upbringing. And the children aren't having any physical upbringing.
No.
The purpose of exercise is to get the lymphatic system moving, to get the fascia moving, so things flow through the body. People's bodies are stagnating, which is why there's a lot of children that are sick as well, much younger. You know, like you said, posturally they're not well, mentally they're not well, emotionally they're not well, hormonally. If you can't balance the emotions, you can never balance. If you can't have emotional empowerment, you will never balance hormones. And if you can't balance hormones, you will become sick. It sounds horrible or that blunt, but that is what it is. Because literally, a body that's balanced hormonally will work well. But the minute the hormones get really thrown out of whack over a prolonged period of time, other organs are working harder. And it just opens a door for dysfunction. And it's just dis-ease. The body is just not balanced. So you come back to balance. And you know, the body will... Everybody's body is different. So our weight will normalize, as opposed to saying, I can make you be like, you know, like a stick. It's like your weight will normalize and you were made fearfully and wonderfully. You're blessed and highly favored, designed for signs and wonders. Stop looking at somebody else, you know?
No, I agree. And that's what worries me. Not, I mean, I'm in the older generation now, as they say, and
You're in the sassy, sexy 60 club, love. You need to...
I think someone said to me, you stop worrying about what other people think when you get 60. And do you know what? She was right.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait, when you get to 60, if you don't do it now, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, but look at your face. Your face looks fresh. Your hair's nice. The thing is, you know, I think I said to people, when our parents were... When we were 30, our parents at 60 looked old. Right?
Yes.
And now we're at that age. We're not. We've got different dynamics. And, you know, I've seen some posts on social media that are saying that the women of our age are trying to take the younger guys, but it's not that we're trying to take them. It's like people go, you're not 60. No way. How old are you? I thought you were in your 40s. So people think you're younger and then you've got a better body. You've looked after yourself. And it's quite funny. But I'm not trying and I don't feel old. I captain a tennis team. I cycle, I run, I dance. You know, but I've always been active, so I'm not.
Yeah, and I think you have to be active, because otherwise, like we've said before, your body seizes up and then you lose confidence and your mind starts to go. And we need to change the narrative. That's very true.
Definitely, definitely. So, look, where can people go to find more information?
So if you go to my website, lynncrilly.com, or my Instagram is lynn_crilly, I do advocate a lot of other charities, organisations that help a wide range, not just mental health, but physical health as well. And I'm very much, I love to champion people that are out there, some wonderful people doing wonderful work. And that is the plus side, I have to say, of social media. There are some wonderful people ready to help different people with different things. So social media does have its plus. I'm also a huge advocate for Sane Charity. They have a helpline 365 days a year from 4 till 10, 0300 304 7000, should you want to talk to someone.
Say that number again.
0300 304 7000. And they're open 365 days a year for 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
Amen.
And they are all trained and they're there and ready to help anyone that wants to talk.
Fantastic. Now, I'm going to spell out your names because sometimes people add an E to the end. So it's important. It's
L-Y
double N. So that's Lima Yankee, November, November. And Crilly is C, not K. C-R-I-L-L-Y. So that's Charlie Romeo in the Lima, Lima Yankee. I love doing that. So it's Lim with, it's double N, but without the E, and it's Crilly with a C. So Lynn_Crilly on Instagram. Lynn, I do these events in Soho every other month. I'm filtered, so I'm gonna have to invite you to one of those. So we could.
I would love to. I'd be honest.
Children and put them together. But I think we could put something on, like, you know, a workshop and stuff during the day, just to really help people to understand, you know, that their body is beautiful where it is. It just needs to be balanced, and you know, at the end of the day, who, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
No, 100%.
So it's not in the eye of social media.
No,
but
I think you have to start with yourself. And I think people need to believe in their own empowerment and know that it's okay to be them and rock their own brand rather than trying to follow someone else or be like someone else. Well, we're all destined to be different.
That's right. So I do these 60-day journeys as well, She Comes First. And so each letter of She Comes First stands for a different area of health. But the S, the first S is self-love, and it's self-care and self-awareness. So it always starts with self. And it comes back round to self. And I think sometimes we need to do a little self-examination. Is it our self-love or our self, is it our hormonal harmony or our empowerment that's out?
Mm-hmm.
Is it our, you know, connections? Are we making the wrong kind of connections? You know, when we feel a bit stressed, how are we breathing? Because oxygen is life force energy. It's a nutrient.
Yes.
We need to know how we're doing that. What kind of movements are we doing, you know? So it's a lot, you know. What time are we going to sleep? Children are going to bed so late, they're so tired, and the fastest way to get sick is to lack sleep. So we go through all of these little principles and turn it into like a bicycle, like spokes on a bicycle wheel, and then you kind of work out, are my spokes broken, which ones are bent, and my bike's not riding very well. So you go through this lovely journey and it brings you back to self, and it's like a real transformation. We need to be there so that we know that, you know, we are the she comes first. That's it. We're all right.
Definitely.
We're okay, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I'd love to come to an event in do let me know how I can contact you.
Oh,
I'd love
definitely
to come to Soho.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All I know is that I seem to run out of time very quickly, and I've had some powerful interviews over the last couple of weeks, and I hope that what you've learned from this today is very helpful. I mean, I've shared quite openly about what's within my family, but I think it's important that this just came up for me again, and it's just looking at what's happening, right? For me, you know, as I mentioned, influence of that awareness is dangerous, and mental health awareness is not only about depression or anxiety, it is also about emotional susceptibility. This is very important, especially as young girls and young boys move into pubescence. It's important to understand identity confusion because, you know, when we're just watching what's going on social media, especially in lockdown, the world was influenced by what came through the screen, not who was in your immediate circle. So it wasn't about physical connection, but actually about this visual connection. And then that created this whole comparison culture, which becomes very dangerous because the sun and the moon, they shine in their own right. So stop comparing yourself. The sun and the moon are both invaluable and they shine in their own right. This blue of the sky is as important as the dark of the night. Unresolved trauma. You know, even a vaginal birth is a traumatic journey for children. You know, it's not a bad trauma, but it's still trauma in itself. And depends on how that relationship came out. Unresolved trauma. For some people, the relationship between how they came into this world, the environment they were born into, the experiences they had, you carry it through life unless you deal with it. But we've been taught to bury it. Loneliness, you know. There's that line in the spoken word, right? A single raindrop falling from the sky. Surrounded but lonely, not knowing why. We're surrounded by media and people in all guises. On our phones, on our tablets, on the TV. You know, but we're still on our own. We get on the bus, we get on the train. We're surrounded by people fighting and jostling for a space, but we're still on our own. We're surrounded but we're lonely. Or we're just at home. I mentioned him, you know, as part of my mum's eulogy, I'm saying that as each of us left the house, the silence becomes louder and we don't even realise that silence can be so flipping noisy. Social validation. It's like if you're not on social media, you're invisible. So the social validation isn't even coming through people that are in proximity. It's coming through the screen. It's coming through likes. You can buy your likes. You can buy your influence. That's how dangerous it's become. And this is why social media is dangerous for adults, much less children, still processing and navigating themselves and the pubescent changes, much less. Algorithmic conditioning, you know, that's how everything is going. It's the algorithms dictate your popularity. I mean, what kind of rubbish is that? And then the psychological exhaustion of trying to become acceptable. This is why this conversation is so important. So, you know, who are you following? As I mentioned, followers become imitators. But I want to end with this. If people do not know themselves, they become vulnerable to whatever culture says is valuable this week. Not all the time, but what's valuable today. And so one week it may be extreme thinness, the next week it's curves, the next week it's injections, the next week it could be wellness, the next week it's biohacking, the next week it's hyper-productivity, the next week it's soft life, the next week it's hyper-independence. It's all of these dangerous things. But here's the thing. Your body then becomes a battleground for belonging. And we don't want it to be that. And we need to make sure that we're to a point where maybe the conversation really is about awareness. Who told you you were not enough? Or even, what is the actual price of influence? If you want to contact me, it's pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. I do this coaching all the time and I'm transforming lives and saving relationships, and it always starts in the head. You can find me at Pelvic Secrets on Instagram and TikTok, Jenny Russell on LinkedIn and Facebook, or Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook. I've got 10 days before I do my final farewell to my mum. So all I can say to you is that one life, choose to live it so well that it excites you and you become a reason for, because of what has gone before you. So in health and happiness, until next week, stay blessed, stay well even, and stay safe.